Please turn your Bible to Psalm 133. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 3, the entire psalm. As I'm reading, would you listen for the word of God? How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? If it weren't for your mercy, Lord, we would still be lost in a life of selfishness and self-indulgence. By your word and your spirit, please guide us in the path of Christ, life of selflessness and generosity. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Well, hello, my name is Chris Neen, and I am the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. If you reach into your bulletin, you'll see a GPS, a Grow, Pray, and Study Guide. Everybody here has been challenged to develop a quiet time. I won't make you raise your hand to see if you're doing that. I just want to continue to challenge you. That GPS is renewed every week. Last week's is not the same as this week's, and it's tied into the sermon theme, so you can continue to think about what we're going to be talking about this morning. I hope you're taking advantage of that. I was reading this past week about a young man, David Davila. He's from East Moline, Illinois. He got a job in Springfield, and his family's very tight-knit, and so it was a big deal when he got a job out of town, and he wasn't going to be around for all the family gatherings. So his mother, remembering back to the Flat Stanley days, you know, when people would take Flat Stanley on vacation with them and to different family functions, she had her son, David, got a picture of him here, take a picture. He's 5'8" tall, so she had it blown up into a life size of her son. And David continued to show up at family banquets. He would be leaned into the corner at different birthday parties and holidays, and people would enjoy. His older brother said, actually, flat David is better looking than the real David. But what happened was the reason there was an article done about him is this really caught on. And so Flat David started getting invitations to people's weddings and different banquets and started showing up all around East Moline. And what got me thinking about that was last week, and again this morning, as people were going through the receiving line, I have a number of people say, hey, we'll see you in a month. We'll see you in a month and a half. They're all snowbirds, and they're heading down south to get those rental breaks that you can get down in Arizona and Texas and Florida. And so, you know, I got to thinking, why don't we take a picture of them and we'll make Flat Davids and Stanleys and Johns out of them. I know where you sit, and we'll just lean you up right there because we miss you when you're gone. After the service, you know, if you're here, you can grab them, take them out, lean them up against the donut holes by the coffee. They could still be a part of the fellowship out there. This could be a winner, you guys. I really want to hold on to that thought. And you'll be a warning to all of you, don't leave. I need you around here. I will miss you. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about community, Christian community, and what makes up Christian community and why it's so important. The title of the sermon is Life Together, and that's actually a phrase that comes from one of my spiritual heroes, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Lutheran pastor. During World War II, he led an underground seminary in Germany. Actually, in 1939, he was in the United States. Hitler was beginning the World War II and invading countries in Europe, and his friends at Union Seminary said, stay here, you're safe here. But he realized for Christianity to be relevant after the war, there would have to be Christians in Germany that would suffer along with the German people. So he went back and he started this underground seminary. And during that time, he wrote different papers on what it means to be Christian community, how we live out our life together, especially during a crisis like a war. But in all the different storms and trials of our life, how important it is for Christians to gather together, just as it says in our text. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, when we gather together. This is something that God wants for us. Now, community in general is a group of people who have a common interest, values, purpose, mission. I am going to be specifically talking about Christian community for the next couple of weeks. There are different types of communities. There's different religious communities. There's different special interest communities, political communities. What we're interested in is Christian community. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a quote about what makes Christian community unique. Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. Whether it is a brief, single encounter or the daily fellowship of years, Christian community is only this. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. The thing that you and I have in common is Christ. Christ is the one that brings us together. Christ is the one that we look to for inspiration, the one who will correct us, the one that will continually knit and nourish our community together. So what we're interested in is how do we live out a life of Christian community. I found an acronym that I think can kind of help us with this. It's on relationships, Christian relationships. We're people that rely on God's word. We're here to encourage and build each other up. We're here to develop long-lasting relationships. We're always to be patient, for God is continuing to write all of our story. Telling each other that you're beautiful as you are. That means encouraging one another and seeing the goodness and the virtues that God has placed in us. Telling, I trust both in God and in you, so I have a vertical and I have a horizontal relationship. I have a relationship that's Christ-centered. We're here to never lead each other astray, but to encourage each other to live for what is important. We're here to seek God first. We're to be a humble community, not a self-righteous or prideful community. And we're here to commit. We're committed to loving like Jesus has loved us. We're here to pray for each other, and we're here to share the word with each other. That's a pretty good description, isn't it, of what it means to be in Christian community. We advertise to the city of Hastings and surrounding towns and villages and little burgs that we're a community church. So if you see that, we have people that show up every week and they're seeking, maybe for the first time in this church, a renewed relationship, a sense of intimacy with God, and the opportunity to get to know other people, to begin the process of making friends. Now, in a church that's as old as ours, there's a lot of people that have established relationships. So it's a matter of self-discipline for us to continually be making room for new people who are coming in. We don't want to make it difficult for them to break into our relationship. We want to make it incredibly easy for them to get to know us and to know that they're feeling welcome. And that takes discipline in order to do that. When people show up to a church like ours and they don't find those things, they can feel like it's false advertising. Like the guy down in Katy, Texas, who is a businessman. He had a business trip the next day, and he had some shirts that he needed to get done for that. And he remembered on the other side of Katy, there's a dry cleaner, advertised himself as 1 hour dry cleaning. And so he drove across town, he filled out the tag, he went up to the lady, he said, "Here are my shirts, I need these shirts back in an hour." She said, "Oh, we don't do that." He said, "What your sign says, 1 hour dry cleaning." "Well, that's the name of the business, but we don't actually do that." It's kind of like going to a community church and not finding community, right? If they don't find people that are smiling and welcoming and, "Hey, let me introduce you to this person," and inviting them to come and join them for breakfast or brunch or lunch, it's kind of false advertising. We don't want to be that kind of church. Do you remember that when you become a member of a United Methodist Church, you remember what the promise is that we make to one another? We actually make the promise to God on behalf of one another. In the United Methodist Church, we vow to uphold this place and one another with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. That's our promise. And any church is as strong or as weak as we keep that promise. Just like a family. When you go through a class on family systems, one of the ways that you can divide healthy family from unhealthy family is how well people keep promises to one another. If you're in the 12-step world, one of the things that's happened, and people will often confess, and if there's an intervention that takes place, people will say to a person that's struggling with addiction, "You don't keep your promises to me. We don't keep our promises to one another." Not just marital vows, but the promises that we make on a daily basis to one another. "Hey, I'll take you to the ball game. Hey, I'm looking forward to showing up for your concert." And if a failing family is ever going to experience renewal, it's because there's a person, persons within that family that are keeping their promises to one another. It's no different in a church. The strength, the renewal of a church is dependent upon the people here maintaining our commitment to one another, to uphold each other by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Josephus was a historian in the 4th century, and he was writing the history of the Jews and their experience in the Mediterranean area, and he talked about the emergence of Christ. It's one of those non-biblical sources that talks about Jesus. It's very interesting. And he said, out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, came the tribe of the Christians. I remember hearing that when I first became a Christian, and I loved the phrase because it makes you think of a people group. Your group, my group, our unit, our core, our legion, our congregation, our fellowship, and if necessary, our family. Churches can be incredibly exciting, dynamic places to be when we prioritize each other. When we show up and we're anticipating what God is going to do next in your life, in your family. When we see each other from Sunday to Sunday and we see that incremental change, just that little bit of change that continues to take in all of our lives when we're becoming more and more like Christ, and how powerful that becomes as a whole when that's happening within our congregation. And when we're constantly exploring as a church what it means to be the church in Hastings and in the world, always kind of pressing the edge of that and finding out what we're capable of. That is not a boring place. That's one of the most exciting, dynamic places that you and I can be, and it begins, that kind of Christian community, by keeping our promise with one another. Amen?